Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Chris Cameron, my co-host, Felicity Sidnell Reed, and our guest this week, novelist, short story writer, and reviewer, Vanessa Westerman. Vanessa, tell us about the anthology, A Grave Diagnosis, an Anthology of Murder and Malaise. Was it prompted by the outbreak of COVID-19?
A Grave Diagnosis is a packed anthology of 35 high-quality crime stories from both new and established authors. Crime and illness are the theme, but the idea for the anthology was solidified by the publisher Donna Carrick late in 2019, before word of COVID-19 had spread. Most stories won't be directly connected to the pandemic. In fact, my own short story is about a murder that takes place during a medical drama television series. And A Grave Diagnosis will be published in fall 2020.
I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about Carrick Publishing. For those listeners who don't know, do they specialize in publishing crime fiction?
Yes, Carrick Publishing focuses on the crime genre and is a Toronto-based indie press. Publisher Donna Carrick also hosts a very interesting podcast called Dead to Rights. The podcast features weekly interviews with authors from the crime genre industry and authors published by Carrick Publishing. Dead to Rights podcast is available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, and I can only recommend it.
You wrote an interesting article for the online literary magazine booksbywomen.org, describing how you transformed your heroine in An Excuse to Murder from a damsel in distress into the perfect heroine for our times. Can you give our listeners some advice on strengthening the character of a protagonist and then explain how you did this for Kate in your book?
The magazine's mission is to encourage and promote the visibility of women writers on their online platform, so all of it is very female-oriented. My article describes my editing process I went through to develop Kate's character. An early version of the manuscript was actually rejected by an editor for being a woman in danger novel. This feedback led me to reassess Kate's character and to do a major rewrite, which then led to Barbara's praise. So the article is a how-to of my editing process. In the golden age of detective fiction, female characters were often sidekicks to the male hero, Miss Marple being a notable exception to the rule. In the past half century, female sleuths have shown that crime-solving is indeed a suitable job for a woman, and even become, to quote Dillis Wynne, the better half of the mystery. I gathered the tools I would need for editing my book by reading and drawing inspiration from some of these feisty, resourceful, and intelligent female sleuths. Of course, the first step was to be utterly ruthless with cuts and changes. I analyzed the story to identify weaknesses, especially as to how Kate reacts when she is in danger. So while I was editing, I made sure to develop Kate's personal goals and ambitions. Kate's experiences as a bookstore owner and avid reader of crime fiction provide her with the skills she needs to solve the mystery. However, Kate's love for reading is also a flaw, and every three-dimensional character, of course, should have some flaws. As a bookworm, she's a daydreamer. She draws conclusions on reality from fiction, which can lead her down the wrong path occasionally, but she recognizes her weaknesses and overcomes them, or uses them to her benefit. It's her knowledge of mysteries that helps her solve the crime and enables her to expose the holes in a story to recognize a lie as fiction. But one of my favorite things to write is dialogue. So my last tip or technique that I used was to view dialogue in my editing as another opportunity for me to show Kate's spirit. I think when strengthening a character, it's so important to assess the way they express themselves and communicate with others. Is her voice being heard by other characters? I asked myself, does she take or give advice? Do other characters have the last line, or does she? And if you read An Excuse for Murder, and I hope some of the listeners will, you'll see that Kate now tends to have the last word.
I've always preferred Harriet Vane to Peter Wimsey in those novels anyway.
Me too.
I think Peter Wimsey does too, actually.
So Vanessa, could you read us an excerpt from An Excuse to Murder so to illustrate sort of what you've just been talking about? And then maybe after that, a short piece from Medicine, the short story that you're publishing in A Grave Diagnosis.
Yes. So to give a little bit of setup for those listeners who may not have read my book after I was on the show last time, An Excuse for Murder is told from the perspective of Kate, but also from the perspective of Gary Fenris, a former bodyguard who has committed murder. Gary could have taken on the role of knight errant, but instead I had Kate prove again and again throughout the novel that she can fight her own battles. I used her interactions with Gary and the moments when he underestimates her to show Kate's independence and ability to act under pressure. So in this scene, they've just discovered that someone has been following Kate and Gary is concerned for her safety. So, should I be carrying pepper spray? Kate asked. Hands on her hips, feet firmly planted, the stance was all defiance and courage, eyes sparking with determination. Gary grinned at her, delighted. What's so funny? She asked. Nothing. I'm almost afraid for the other guy. As you should be. All right, why don't you prove it? Show off your self-defense skills. What tactics have you got? What do you mean? Can you handle the situation if someone attacks you? I thought I had more than proved myself on that point. You caught me off guard. That's entirely different. Let's see what skills you've got, Rowan. Kate crossed her arms over her chest. You don't have to worry your pretty little head about it. Then prove it. He needed to know she could take care of herself if need be. What's your strategy? You're kidding. Put my mind at ease, Kate. Well? Gary spread his arms, planted his feet, well aware he towered above her. Give it your best shot. Kate looked at him skeptically. I don't want to hurt you. He seriously doubted that was even a possibility. Don't feel sorry for your victim. Don't hesitate. 1 second of uncertainty is all it can take. I've heard all this a million times. Kate rolled her eyes. He'd have to go down a different route. Well, all I see right now, he paused, is a coward. Kate sucked in a breath, her eyes narrowing dangerously. A what? You heard me. He never saw it coming. Kate grabbed his arm, her back to him, and flipped him neatly over her shoulder. The next instant, the floor was hard against his back, the jolt of contact radiating through his spine. He didn't even have enough breath to croak a complaint. Gary lay on the floor without moving, dazed. Kate's face floated above him. Sorry about that. I did warn you. And I was provoked. Don't ever, she spaced the words out, call me a coward. So in my story titled Medicine, the leading actor of a medical drama television series has devoted the better part of her life to playing the role of surgeon Dr. Grace Steele, about to be replaced by an eager-to-please starlet. Her character is being killed off by a mysterious illness. So this is the opening to my story titled Medicine. She lifted the scalpel. It was the delicate nature of the task at hand that had her hesitating, not fear. Cut! The word exploded through the room. Her fingers tensed on the blade once before she let it fall onto the table with a clatter of metal on metal. She could feel the beat of her pulse throbbing in her throat as her heart rate picked up. What now? The director strode towards her. There should be a tremor, a tremor. Nearby, the other actors shifted uneasily, but she held her ground. A surgeon's hands don't tremble. Yours do now. That snap in his tone, it was a sign they all recognized. His patience was wearing thin. I am Dr. Grace Steele. She repeated the mantra to herself as she always did when she needed courage. She straightened her spine, squared her shoulders, and faced him head on. Grace wouldn't operate if her hands were shaking. When was the last time you updated your resume? The question blindsided her. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time I checked, your profession was actor. Strong, clear vocal diction, his voice carried well and echoed. Not writer. Or maybe I simply missed your medical degree. All those spotlights trained on her burning with heat. Her cheeks flushed. She raised her chin. Without me, Grace wouldn't exist. Sweetheart, she just wouldn't have your smile. The flash of fury had her gritting her teeth. There was a time when he wouldn't have spoken to her like this, but those days were long gone. She'd never deluded herself into thinking her beauty would last. There were some who did, but she knew better. Eternal youth was nothing more than an expensive fantasy. But they were using her age as an excuse to turn Grace into a trope to weaken her, and that was unforgivable. The clock was ticking on her career, and it was all thanks to him. So to find out what happens next and what she does about this, you'll have to read the rest of the story in the anthology A Grave Diagnosis.
That's exactly what we'll do, I think. Thank you, Vanessa. Can you tell us where our listeners will be able to buy A Grave Diagnosis and where they can find copies of An Excuse for Murder?
Yes, so A Grave Diagnosis will be available in the fall at Sleuth of Baker Street Bookstore in Toronto, Amazon, and all major ebook retailers. An Excuse for Murder can be purchased right now through independent bookstores such as Sleuth of Baker Street, Furby House Books in Port Hope, or Lighthouse Books in Brighton, as well as on Amazon and other ebook retailers.
Thank you so much, Great. Vanessa Westerman, for joining us on Zoom and talking about your new writing and your other projects. We hope you get home all right and have a safe journey home.
Thank you.
To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these broadcasts are archived. We love to hear from you, and we welcome your comments on our programs. Thanks for tuning into the show. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.